This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I'm Barbara Gray, and March 1st is the date. I don't have a joke.
Oh my God.
I know.
That's really bad.
It's beautiful.
You're blushing.
I'm Barbara Gray and I'm blushing.
I'm Brady Posey, and Beyonce's photo shoot is a fuck you to when we said she faked her last pregnancy. And that is some long term spite. And honestly, I've never liked her more.
Oh. Yes.
I'm Tess Barker, and there are plenty of fish fans in the sea.
One asked me out recently. This is lady to lady.
Can you keep it secret?
Neither can we.
And of course, there's Tess. We got a show for everyone. That's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to lady. Lady to lady.
Well, hello. What a start.
Really. Rip roaring.
Happy March 1st,
everyone. You know what that reminded me of is when we were in Vancouver and Sean's dad ran an 8K and he was like, we like started and everyone just took off running. I thought we were all going to like take our time.
You didn't expect?
No, he was surprised that everyone started the race running. And he started walking.
What was going to happen?
He thought everyone was going to kind of ease into the running.
Oh, just like start walking and stretching?
Yeah, that's what he did.
Oh,
yeah. Man. Anyway, that reminds me of this show so far.
I'll be the dad.
Yeah. You make a good dad.
Yeah. You got some good dad jokes.
I've been real dad joking it up. But that March 1st one's a classic.
Yeah.
Every dad knows that one. Yep. A fish fan did ask me out.
I wasn't doubting it.
Yeah. No, I believe that.
They're everywhere.
They are everywhere.
How did you find out he was a fishman, and how did he ask you out?
Oh, he told me about it, of course.
Oh, yeah. They never...
What do you think?
Before or at? Was he like, hello, I'm a fish fan. Also, I'd like to take you out to dinner.
He was cute, and he came up and said something to me about like a joke, and then told me I was attractive or something. And then, I don't know, he talked to me for a while, and then somehow got that he was a fish fan in there, obviously. And then he asked me for my number.
Well, fish fandom before number.
Yeah.
Did you give him your number?
Before number, I did. Okay. I'm getting to the point where we were talking about this. I went on a date last night with a guy who like actually asked me out, and I'm like, yes, if you will actually come up to me and say, would you like to go out sometime, that is very attractive.
Yeah.
And I also you know, these guys seemed okay and stuff.
Yeah.
And stuff. Anyway,
it's
okay,
like a solid vetting process. All right, do we have any housekeeping?
Very quickly, tomorrow is March 2nd, and picture this.
Today is March 1st.
Yeah, today is March 1st. Tomorrow is March 2nd.
This is your king and I, etc.
And I'm going to ride it, baby.
Picture this is doing its pilot taping on March 2nd at the Actors Company. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook, or everything for all of those details. Come to that. Let's pack it out so I can make a TV show. And then on March 3rd, I'm going to be in Gainesville, Florida for the Changeville Festival. Well, I'll be headlining at the High Dive with a bunch of other awesome comics. It's going to be super fun. So if you're in Florida, come hang out with me.
Now, I'll be 8 days from today, March 1st, on March 9th, I'll be at the Golden Spike Comedy Festival in Salt Lake City, where I'm from. So if you're my friend, come hang out with me, please. Is that sad?
You have friends.
Yeah. No, I do. I just meant I know my friends listen to the show.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that is what you meant, but the way you said it kind of made me sound like
sad.
You were looking for friends.
Yeah. I have plenty. I don't want to be anyone's friend. I'm good.
Yeah, you're all booked up.
All friended up.
I'm all friended up and friended out. Let me begin. Okay.
Okay, Dad.
All right, Pop. Speaking of beginnings, let's bring our guest on. She's a writer for Broadly, where she covers all kinds of stuff, including sex and fun science and political stuff like that. And I work with her on Throwing Shade. You guys, Bethy Squires.
Hi.
She covers sex and science. Is that what you said?
And where they meet.
Yeah, that's correct, right? That's how you describe your beat.
Yeah, I'd say like health, science,
fucking stunts. A lot of stunts.
Mm. Ooh.
What's your biggest stunt you've done so far?
They asked me to see if sex could cure my hangover. So I had to get drunk several nights in a row because I needed control.
Right.
One where I didn't have sex.
Right.
And then one where I did. And I think I finished through one in for fun.
Sure. Just in case.
Yeah. Because it has to have like repeatable results or else it's not a good study.
Right.
Absolutely.
At least we know Bradley has some integrity.
Rigorous standards of journalism. Doesn't work.
I don't feel like I want to fuck at all when I'm hungover. That sounds very unappealing.
I've definitely had the thought, like, should I have sex to feel better? I've had that thought.
I mean, I might jerk off, but I'm not like.
Yeah, I feel like just jerk
I feel
off.
Like that would have been better.
Yeah, because that's just like you don't have to deal with anybody else. You're just kind of like making the blood rush to different areas.
The weird thing about I've done like a couple other hangover studies for them that they had me go through, but we still don't know what causes hangovers. We have no idea.
It's not really? Dehydration?
It's not dehydration.
Really?
No. They think maybe it's a buildup of cytokines.
And what's that?
Like, I don't fucking know. I just remember the word. It's some sort of like immune response, essentially. Like that there's some toxin that builds up, and then that is the problem.
Ooh.
That's interesting. So what was your, since you don't know what causes hangovers, what were you doing to guarantee that you get hungover?
I mean, drinking a bunch. I did do stuff. Like, I drank more than usual. I had a cigarette, which I don't usually do. Mm. I made sure to eat less than usual. I basically just like, well, what could I do that has made my life terrible previously?
It's
so interesting to drink for a hangover. I've never thought about
that. Certainly very achievable.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was harder than I thought it was going to be.
Because you don't know. You could
you
be fine.
You never know.
Yeah. That is the problem. It's all just a crapshoot.
Mm-hmm.
I've had I definitely should have, Sunday should have been an all day do nothing day for me because of the amount of whiskey I had the night before. I was fine. I had a very productive day. I didn't know, you know.
And then that's great because you've got your schedule cleared for the hangover.
Right. I canceled the tap dancing class I was supposed to go to at 9 a.m. I was like 2 in the morning and I was like, nope, that is absolutely not happening.
Tap dancing wouldn't help a hangover. That's not a study we should be looking into.
Yeah, maybe that's something Bradley needs to explore.
Don't let Bradley hear that. They're going to make me do it.
Speaking of, this is a terrible time to plug this, but Comedy Central, we're making more Snapchats with Comedy Central.
Oh, yes.
I don't know when they're getting released yet. It might be by now. If you are on Snapchat, subscribe to Comedy Central's channel. I think we'll be every Tuesday on there. But check them out. Swipe to the end and we'll be there. Talking about, we are doing Would You Rather. So we have one that's like, would you rather always be hungover or always be sunburned?
Oh, yeah. We're talking about hangovers tomorrow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. What do you think?
Sunburn.
Sunburn?
Sunburn for sure.
Yeah. Do you get sunburned bad?
Yeah. I'm pretty pasty.
Yeah.
I burn bad once every summer and then I'm sort of even.
You just got to get the first peel off.
I got to get the first peel off.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though. Yeah, that could be actually a little bit fun to be forever sunburned.
Yeah.
Just for the picking.
Yeah, or the exfoliating. Mm-hmm. I do like a bunch of dead skin coming off me.
Yeah,
it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Do you guys know that phobia, the internet phobia that may or may not be real, tripopophobia?
Which one's that?
Fear of little small holes in the surface.
Brandy
has it.
No. Here's the thing. I don't have it until I look at it and then I have it.
I got it. I understand.
It's very gross.
So fear of pores or what?
Kind of, yeah. It's like fear of just like, oh God.
What's it called?
I wonder if I have it.
Tripopophobia is like how it's spelled. It's like with a Y. Yeah. But I feel like the picking thing and the tripopophobia, like it's all sort of a piece that there's some part of me that desperately just always wants to be popping zits.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't have that. I know there's people who love that.
Looking at that doesn't.
Unpleasant.
Oh, that shakes me to my core.
I mean, right? I feel like anybody would be weirded out by
that.
I hate it.
It's
awful.
But
Fiore pore strips, what a miracle.
Ugh.
Not the same.
Yeah.
It like my skin's crawling right now.
Really?
Can you
Biore?
Huh? Yeah, I can.
But that, I feel like those are
looking at extreme examples.
Those
of
are
it.
All like intent. Yeah, I feel like intended to grow someone out.
There's also a couple of like not flowers. There's a couple of like flowery
lotus pods.
Yeah, there's like lotus pods that if you look at them for too long, they look like pores, and like those gross me out because then I'm just like, oh, those big fucking pores. Why are your pores so big? and then my heart wants to crumple.
Yeah. I had a reoccurring nightmare when I was a kid that weeds were growing out of my arm.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't have that exact dream, but the reason they bring it up is I've had definitely dreams where my skin was like foaming over with something crazy or like all of my skin was peeling off. I'm very well psychologically. Things are going great.
I mean, our brain does fucking weird shit to us and we have no control over, so I don't know. It's all good. I mean, Whitney, my roommate, loves that, like, she will, like, I remember one time we were sharing a YouTube channel because we had, like, sketches, and I went on there, and under the suggested ones, it was, like, giant zit pot, and I was like, Whitney, goddammit, I don't want to like, don't fucking have this just popping up in my suggested videos.
You know what's weird? I really like popping things on, like, myself, or if I'm lucky enough that Sean will let me, then I like that. But I'm not into, like, stranger zits.
Yeah.
I can't do the boyfriend thing either. Like, I could do it. Yeah, sure, I'll pop my... But, like, I cannot do this other grooming of another human. We talk... I just not my... Not my bag.
Yeah. My reasoning is that's, like, my second body, so it's fun for me.
I mean, maybe... I haven't been that close. Yeah. I haven't been that comfortable with anybody, though, so I feel like maybe, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's someday. It's something to aim for.
Please. We'll see. Maybe the fish guy will want his...
probably need some.
We'll be grooving at a fucking 7-hour guitar solo.
I met my husband 11 years ago now, so the body comfort has reached like a plateau. But like when we first started dating, I did a lot of sort of spatial body math and like, well, does my chin fit into your eye socket? And what happens if you blink? Like just trying to figure out how the puzzle pieces fit together. That was, I don't know, like 2 weeks. I was just figuring that out.
Yeah,
like
you got bored. Typical.
Yeah.
It is fun to, you kind of get comfortable and see, you know, see what goes where. Any other experiments? I don't know. That's probably not the word, but that you did.
I mean, most of what I do is more talking to real scientists who have done the experiments, but, let's see, I've done stories on snail mucin and beauty products, why you don't dream when you smoke a lot of pot, and why you dream a shit ton when you stop smoking pot.
If I ever stop smoking pot, I'm going to dream so much.
I was about to say that.
Wow, because I dream a lot.
You do?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean, I'm sure it has to be different for everybody.
That's interesting because I don't remember dreams ever, and I've never smoked pot. I never remember dreams.
Maybe Brandy and I switched pot dreams.
Maybe.
That's probably what it was.
You
guys Freaky Friday.
Only the pot for our hippocampus.
Yeah. No, but it's supposed to suppress your slow wave sleep, the sleep where you dream. That's why you sleep quicker. Like you go to sleep more easily, but then you also don't have the same kind of deep sleep, REM sleep. And then when you stop smoking, you go through REM rebound, which is why people who are like going cold turkey tend to report having like really fucked up dreams.
Oh, shit.
You just have, your body's just found like a new equilibrium probably.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, it's just like part of my DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the caffeine mediates some of it too. Yeah. I don't know. It's tough to say.
Yeah.
I think my dreams have gotten boring, though. That's not a good sign.
Maybe means you're just living your life the way you want to, so you don't need to work anything out.
I guess.
That's the way I like to take. I'm like, I don't have any dreams because I'm fucking living all of them.
Man, I had this dream once. I'll never forget it. I became friends with Brad Pitt at LAX.
Oh, yeah. It was 7 years in Tibet, Brad Pitt, right?
Yeah. I already told you about this?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. So. It was a great dream where I was dating Brad Pitt.
We've really covered literally everything in this podcast. I know that dream. I got it.
I had a dream once that I was elected homecoming queen under the sea, and I was so excited about the homecoming parade because I wasn't going to shave my pits, and I was really going to stick it to those stucco bitches.
You elected a free.
I guess you really wouldn't have to shave, especially under the sea.
Under the sea? Yeah, no.
It's like extra.
Yeah.
Who cares? It would just waver around like seaweed.
Yeah. There you go. It was a camouflage technique.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to say, you know, this is a special day for me, March 1st.
Yes, March 1st.
all March 1st or 2017 March 1st? Oh my God,
Barbara, I forgot to get you something for March 1st.
It's okay. Well, I just wanted to recognize the many holidays that are celebrated on this day.
Sure.
March 1st, which I know by heart, but I'm looking up on Wikipedia currently. National Pig Day.
Oh, I love pigs.
It's a great
Shout
day.
Shout out to the pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah, give up the pigs.
Self-Injury Awareness Day.
Oh.
Oh, that's, I guess, for cutting
also
stuff,
for the pigs.
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought when I read self-injury, I thought, like, for some reason, like, injury at work. Like,
me too.
Workers' comp.
My first thought was, like, what are we all going to slip on banana peels?
Just, like, be careful I'm sorry, around that tractors was,
that
was, day.
I should have read more into that. I don't mean to offend anybody. Yap Day.
Yap Day.
Oh,
oh so Women Day.
Yeah.
Yap,
yap, yap, yap, yap, yap. Yap, 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 yap.
What if that one's about cutting, too?
Oh, no. They all are. They're all.
Wikipedia is about cutting.
Yeah.
Let's find. You guys, I don't know if you know this, but.
What we got?
This is. In New Zealand, this is the earliest day on which Children's Day can fall.
Children's Day. Yeah. Every day is Children's Day.
Yeah,
I didn't know New Zealand had a Children's Day.
Yeah,
you just get so mad at all of the kids.
Yeah, why did you just get so mad at all the kids?
But not every day's their day.
No, but that's why you're mad at them. It's because every day is their day.
Yeah,
and then they get an extra day that's like especially their day.
Yeah, they already get naps and snacks, and they don't have to pay for shit.
They get driven everywhere.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why they don't. Oh, okay,
exactly.
Shut the fuck up. Beer Day, which marks the end of beer prohibition in 1989.
Oh, I like that one.
89? 1989?
Yes. In Iceland. Excuse me.
Oh, okay. Oh.
I was like, that's false.
Yeah.
Your Wikipedia is showing.
Yeah.
I think that's about it. It's not very exciting. Actually,
that's March 1st wasn't very exciting for you.
Pig Day is pretty good, though.
Yeah, I think Pig Day is the best.
National Pig Day is pretty great. Do you guys, don't know why I was thinking about this, but we did a show at UCB once years ago where we were trying to find a holiday to celebrate.
Yeah.
And we celebrated Cuba Gooding Sr.'s birthday.
Yeah, that was a great show.
With an entire, we made the entire audience sing happy birthday to Cuba Gooding Sr.
Yeah, that was
Sr.
really fun. And then we had Walt Jordan in the audience and he put a pie in Christian DeGay's face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, yeah, just amazing. A great day. Yeah.
Didn't we all wear Cuba Gooding Jr. masks? Or just one person was Cuba Gooding Jr.?
What was Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Senior.
No, he was senior. No, but we also had Cuba Gooding Jr. as part of the show.
I don't remember.
I'm sure this all
did.
Makes perfect sense if you didn't see the show.
Yeah. Yeah. We did some weird shit.
Yeah. Cuba Gooding Jr.
Mm-hmm.
please clarify.
He used to go to the same yoga studio as me.
Really?
Yeah. I'm taking yoga with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Cuba Gooding Jr. has the most vocal fry.
Yeah.
He had
Does
an
he?
Hourglass. Yeah. Did you watch season 6 of American Horror Story that he was in?
No, I didn't even know he was in it.
Oofa doofa. It is a raspy time for
really?
Him.
Wait,
oh,
okay.
Yeah.
His OJ kind of
did. I mean, I watched him as OJ, but I guess he was probably trying to sound
like
OJ.
Oh, I loved him as OJ.
He was such a good OJ.
What is vocal fry?
It's like
oh,
that.
So I have it.
Not that bad.
Okay.
Yeah, yours isn't that bad though.
You should hear me when I hang out with my friends from home though. Is it like
yeah,
it probably
SoCal,
gets worse.
It's a SoCal
yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, interesting. That's I didn't really think about
fry.
That.
I always thought vocal fry was like if your stuff went up at the end. I guess I never
That's
really knew
up talk.
It.
Oh. That's up talk?
That's up
talk.
Up yeah. talk, you
what's,
cater
what's
to
up
a
talk?
Dad jokes. Dad jokes. Dad jokes.
No, what's happening to me?
I'm excited for your dad phase.
I am ready to be a father. I'm not ready to be a mom, but I'm ready to be a dad.
Yeah, being a dad seems so much chiller.
Yeah. I'll be around sometimes.
Just bring home the bacon.
Now, hey, National Pig Day.
Yeah. See how it all ties together? You got to get into like cornhole.
I'm already into that.
Are you?
I mean,
I've never seen you
know.
Playing cornhole.
I'm so bad at
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I'm really bad at it. Anything with a one-armed pitching situation, I embarrass all women around the world.
Oh, no.
With my one-armed thing.
Wait, do you have a two-armed pitching situation?
Basketball, I'm good at.
Yeah. Okay.
But like,
bowling.
Yeah, anything with a two, like basketball, I guess, is the only one I'm good at. Frisbee, embarrassing as fuck. Cornhole, throwing a baseball, throwing a softball. Those are a little better because like they have more direct like forward, but yeah. It's really it's
now
really...
I want to see you play cornhole.
Oh my! You no, you don't. It's it's. I just am so embarrassed.
You know what you mean? Like sometimes I'll get asked to play beer pong and
beer pong
like
so bad.
It's like, look, please don't take this as a reflection on my gender that I suck at beer pong.
I can play regular ping pong okay, but beer pong especially
it's hard out there for a beer ponger.
That's true.
Also, I have like germ issues with beer pong.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
The ball,
right?
The ball,
the water thing? Cup, like that does anything. All that does is create more germs.
It's just spittle everywhere.
What's the water cup?
You it's know, to rinse off the ball.
Yeah. Though. They always like to have like a water cup here and they'll just give it one of those and then.
Yeah, it's I'm gross. Sure that does a lot.
Yeah, and it's always played somewhere, like, but definitely has urine on the carpet. That said, I'm available for your next.
I just like pictured Obama like vacationing and playing beer pong for some reason.
Oh, I bet he's really good at it.
I feel like he is. He's just like
probably his Occidental college days to get real into beer pong over here.
I bet. Yeah, I bet his muscle memory is still really good at that.
Right?
Yeah.
He's probably just put his little.
But Michelle kicks his fucking ass out.
Oh, oh yeah, those arms? Are you kidding me?
Yes. Oh,
she like
those arms
him.
Were built on beer pong.
She's got like bank shot tricks that she can do.
Absolutely,
bouncing off walls.
If she had to, she could pop it out of her pussy.
I mean, we could all though, couldn't you? I don't think it takes that much work.
How do you crush it? Like, I feel like
I think those are pretty like sturdy.
Maybe I'm sturdier.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know what? I wouldn't know until I tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can honestly say I've never tried that.
You really got to use the water cup. Damn it!
I used up my never have I ever. Not. Yeah, you definitely need the water cup for that, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you absolutely do.
No, you don't. You should eat someone's mouth. Barack Obama.
Where's the fic, though? That's good.
Mm-hmm. Where's the what?
The fic, the fanfic.
Oh,
yeah.
The fic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's definitely out there. There's definitely Barack Obama.
Oh, my God. I didn't think about Barack
Obama. But, like, specifically, like,
pussy
eating a ping pong ball?
I mean,
all right, listeners, you got a week.
I'm going to need it on my desk next Tuesday.
The fanfic building. Like, all right. You've got Brock from Pokemon and... I'm sorry. And Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And broccoli. Make them all fuck. Respectfully.
Speaking of fanfic, did you guys see that Barack Obama was on vacation with Richard Branson?
Yes.
Huh. What Whoa. A fucking power couple.
Oh my God.
Hard romance.
I love Richard Branson.
Yeah.
He's just a millionaire, right?
No.
What's his deal?
Well, he's like a skydiving millionaire.
Yeah. Oh. He's like a real life James. He's like, yeah, Barbara. He's like a real life James Bond.
Oh. But he isn't like, he's not a spy.
He does have
no, he's cooler than a spy.
Island James compound, Bond is, though. I don't think James Bond being like rich.
You don't?
No, but he like has a lot of like crazy gadgets and he's doing crazy stuff all the time.
I'm gadget boy.
He's a gadget boy.
Yeah.
Talking about jetpacks.
Yeah.
Talking about hot air balloons. Yeah, I think he took the world's longest oversea hot air balloon ride. I mean, this guy's out of control. I love Richard Branson.
Why are jetpacks more readily available?
They will be soon.
They're probably not economically.
I just feel like if everybody has those fucking scooters, we should be seeing more jetpacks.
I'm ready. Yeah.
Do we have to train
on the scooter? Do you think to...
It's probably light. I'm great at the scooter.
Yeah, I would say great.
We've seen that video. I bet you it's liability. That's why we don't have jetpacks.
Oh, that's
true. You know? Because if you like crash into somebody and you fall and you break something, you're going to sue the jetpack.
There's people fucking falling off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Falling off cliffs on the goddamn Segways. You know.
I know. The guy who made the Segway.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it isn't made to go off a cliff. Jetpack's made to be in the air. God. Right. So something malfunctions.
You like air traffic controller.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no way to not look so badass with a jetpack on. Like.
Yeah.
I think there's
you have
a way.
To like you're. When you're trying to steer the jetpack, it's like the same gesture as like putting your thumbs through your backpack, like you're really excited to go to school. So I think there's actually something a little dorky about the jetpack posture.
Yeah, because you got to hold on.
But you got your little like Peter Pan legs as you
What the fuck is that?
I'm picturing like what's her name, Mary Martin. You know, jetpackers always have their like,
oh, like with the one leg out.
Yeah,
like
yeah, little,
yeah.
I mean, once we start getting Mary Poppins like umbrellas, then I'm in. The one arm like lift you up.
Well, then oh, you look really nice. Cool.
Very slimming like, effect.
I like that Richard Branson is like bullshitting around, and like all of the other billionaires are just like, we will build a colony in space, and they're like have very aggressive,
he knows
like,
what to do with
non-fun
it.
Like fun things, but like they don't seem like they're having a lot of fun working on their
yeah
on their exploits.
Branson's having a great time.
He doesn't care.
No.
Yeah.
God. Why is Obama hanging out with him?
Because they're probably planning how they're going to save the world.
Is Branson saving people, or is he just doing
he's on
shit?
The good side.
Yeah, he's like a good dude. Okay. But yeah, he's like, you know.
He's more into his jetpacks and island compounds and balloons.
He seems like a tantric sex guy.
Oh, yeah, right? Sure.
Yeah.
That's like all that he does.
Yeah.
And then he just
fuck real slow on a hot air balloon.
That's why it had to take so long. Yeah. Because I was thinking like, man, that would get boring. But I guess, yeah, never mind. Not if you're having like an 18-hour orgasm or whatever.
Hot air balloon's really, it's scary. It's scarier than I thought
it was really scary.
Yeah. Because the whole time you're in there, you're like, oh, this is actually just a basket.
Yeah.
That's the scary part, not the high part.
No, kind of,
I don't want to see through the like, the, you know,
really
the weave.
I've never trusted wicker in my life.
And you've got to at that moment, and then you're grabbing onto everything, and everything you're grabbing onto is also the basket. Yeah.
No.
And then every time they want to go higher, they go, and a torch just like flames next to you, and you see it go into the thing.
I almost had a breakdown on a Ferris wheel the other day. I'm not doing this shit. I'm good.
What?
I mean. We'll be back.
Hey, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Tess. And we're here with Bethy.
I'm Bethy.
Sorry, I was seeing if there's any peas left in this.
Sorry, I'm such a tease. I don't have adequate snackage.
You're PTs.
I'm a PTs faux show. So Bethy, I had her bring her tarot cards because she's good at giving tarot readings.
Yeah. So are we going to do individually? We have to, right? We can't do all together as a unit. I guess
I mean, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But
no, let's do individual. Okay. You guys have to say.
Yeah,
that's fine.
That's fine. Yeah.
All right. Who's first?
Whoever has a question. We have a question that it helps.
Nope. I can't think of one thing I'm worried about. Well, what is the question? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Like what kind of stuff?
Not burping.
We have all got fizzy water.
Sorry.
A lot of bubbly at the table.
So I think that the cards, good questions are like how questions or why better than like a yes or a no is like, how do I move through this? What's going on with this? I'm trying to get more insight. Something open-ended is
okay.
helpful.
Okay.
And process-oriented.
Okay. Okay. I've got one. How do I end something that I know should end?
Oh, okay.
Mm.
So give them a little shuffle. Just move them around. I was taught you're supposed to shuffle them three times, but I figure whatever happens is what was supposed to happen, so who gives a shit? But that's me.
I've never been a good shuffler.
Well, and these cards are really hard to shuffle because they
got... I can do the shuffle, but
water damage.
Can you do the truffle shuffle?
Yeah, I can do them at the same time, guys. Oh, they're big, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's not going to happen.
Don't worry about it.
My little hands.
They're weird cards. Okay, how to end something that you know needs to end. Oh, yeah, you do know it needs to end.
Ooh,
oh,
yeah.
Okay. Oh. All right. So I like to start with just a past, present, future. So what I see here is the Prince of Wands. Wands are all about want, actually knowing what you want. So the first step really is to acknowledge the fact that you made a decision and you know that's what you want. You need to like champion that decision. You have to be the knight of that decision. You have to ride fucking hard on that decision. And that's what you're doing right here in the present. You see how this card is a bunch of sticks lighting more sticks?
Mm-hmm.
Your will has to be an engine that further lights that will. It's all about just like steadying through it. you can't pay attention to how you're feeling. You can't pay attention to belief systems that you may have and like little thoughts in your head. You have made a choice. You have to stick to the choice and everything else is going to sort itself out.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that makes sense because you get caught up in the feeling stuff and okay, cool.
And like, so the wands are also aligned with fire because there's fire in all of these and you can see like, this will be burning some bridges. This is like one reason that you have to focus on the will is that this is going to be so transformative that you can't go back. Mm. So you have to commit to the decision because there is no turning back and that's fine because fuck it. And in the end,
that is my new, that's fine. Cause fuck it. Yeah. I love that.
And in the end, you're going to have to rely on the fellowship of women, and a sense of emotional balance that comes from having made the decision. You know, it's the right one. You got these fire cards here. In the future, you'll be able to quench them with friendships.
Nice.
And teamwork.
Cool. Well, that's exactly what I needed to hear.
Cool.
I think that happens a lot, that the cards will just say, you know what you have to do.
Right. Yeah. I think that's been my experience too when I've had them read before, which is like, I'm pretty sure, you know, but it kind of gives you some insight, which is nice. Yeah. Anything to help you like kind of push.
Yeah. And like the fact that the decision will be final is something like you'll just have to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
All right, well, guys, this is my last ladies' note. That
would be so horrible. Burning bridges is right, Babs.
Light it up,
she
bitch.
Just walks out.
I just disappeared.
We're like, where did Babs get a motorcycle?
No, this is when I produced the jetpack.
Like, she's been hiding a jetpack from us this whole time.
See?
That would burn a bridge. That would burn a bridge. If you had a jetpack you were keeping from us. Whoa, girl.
For a second, I thought you meant it would burn a literal bridge. I was like, yeah, if it was made of
that too,
yeah,
also.
Depending on which direction I fly in.
Give forwards,
too. Oh, right, I'll shuffle
from that's what I'm.
Computer.
Yeah, and the, you know how wealthy everyone is in the Bay Area. If you go to San Francisco Giants game, I've heard that because the stadium overlooks the ocean, there's an area behind third base where you can actually see jet packers watching the baseball game.
Whoa!
What the fuck?
Up for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
How do I hang out with these jetpack dudes?
How can they afford a jetpack and not tickets to a game?
Well, I think if they would let them
just showing
the
off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, it's really more about you than the game.
Check me out.
Okay. I will ask, what can I do to qualify for the Boston Marathon?
Oh. Whoa.
Oh, shit.
You got the big Macha cards.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Look at that. Two major arcana. That means it's heavy shit.
Oh.
Which is weird because it seems like a light question.
Yeah. Not really, though. Running is pretty heavy.
Yeah, and I think that that's kind of the thing that I see right here is that previously you've taken it somewhat seriously but kind of left it to chance.
Mm.
Look at all the feet on this Wheel of Fortune card. Tess got the Wheel of Fortune card, and on this deck,
whoa,
it's got
right.
a bunch of little footsies.
Oh, wow.
That's really
weird. They
kind of
look like marathon feet because they have like blisters on them.
Yeah. Look at that. Well, that version of you is past, and it's time to move on to the High Priestess card. The High Priestess card is the unknown. It's the void, the emptiness, the other. So I would assume this is about like the sort of blank mind state you get while running,
mm-hmm.
and that leaning into that feeling maybe, and like letting your mind completely shut down and sort of become a void will be a good motivator to train.
Okay.
Is to like let it shut off, which makes sense given the world.
Yeah.
That maybe this is like, this is a good motivator is just to have this refuge of just turning your mind off by using your little footsies and getting blisters. And yeah, in the end, I think the Two of Wands is like the two roads diverged in a yellow wood card, which is a dumb thing to say because that story is like they're both alike. Whatever. I don't like Robert Frost.
Fuck this card, Robert
But it's
Frost.
Like it's about making choices. So really, in the end, you have to choose to want to do it. Like,
oh.
It's
like I have to choose to want to commit to doing it.
Yeah.
Like what it'll take a lot of time and I have to.
Yeah, you gotta want it. That. Again, the wands come up. The wand is the card, it's the will card.
Right.
Like people that I associate with wand cards are like Frida Kahlo, who struggled all her life, was just like a soldier for what she wanted.
Right.
Like she, you know, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. Lisa Left Eye Lopez, I think of as a wand card person. Really, I don't know. Those are my heroes, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So yeah, just embrace the void.
Okay.
That'll help.
Okay.
Cool.
What do you have to, what's exactly involved in getting in?
I will have to run a marathon in 3 hours and 35 minutes.
And what's your,
where are you at now? My current record is 4 hours and 5 minutes. So I have to take a whole half an hour off.
Oh, shit.
So yeah.
What does that break down to per mile?
I think I have to get my pace down like another 30 seconds a mile, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a shitload.
But over time, yeah.
How do you... Is it just an endurance thing, or do you have to like change your stride, or like...
You have to do my least favorite thing, which is speed training. Like I would rather run like a long distance at like a steady pace, but you have to like go on a treadmill and like make yourself run faster than you're comfortable.
Yeah, it's like sprinting and slowing.
Yeah, it, right? Which is like awful. Like you push yourself past like your natural oxygen capacity.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, and that's
so
why
that that's makes sense why maybe that would, that's a big choice to put yourself through that.
Yeah. But then it's like it is a life goal of mine. Like I do, it's like I feel like I've run this many marathons. I have to run Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you also ran one in Rome on your birthday. That's pretty up there.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean do, obviously do it if that, but like, that's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. The Lisa Simpson in me is like, I have to get a good grade in Boston. Of course.
Complete all of the good ones.
Yeah.
Why is Boston like the big one?
It's like, just like, it's because you have to qualify for it.
Oh, is it? Yeah, it's but don't you have to qualify for most of them or no? Mm-mm.
It's super old too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that was why.
It's like the granddaddy of marathons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
cool. It's like not the Olympics of marathons, but kind of the Olympics of marathons. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Exciting. All right. I'll do this. Yeah. I don't really know.
I hope you don't get wand cards because I feel terrible saying you gotta want it to everybody. So
it's all good.
Flim flammy.
Trying to think of one.
I've
gotten spooked out. I had somebody when I was like 17 read my palm, and she knew my boyfriend's name, and it creeped me out really badly. Yeah, it was weird.
What was his name?
Brooks.
Whoa, that's even weirder. If it was like Dave, I'd be like, well,
no. It was very confident about it. And I also one time at a laundromat had a lady told me she was a psychic, give me a candle of 2 swan heads that made a heart. And she was like, you need this. You have to burn it tonight.
Did you?
Yeah. You're not going to. Like, she didn't ask me for money or anything. She was like, you need to burn this tonight. And I was like, okay. Like, you don't not.
Just well, in case.
What does that mean?
I don't know. She didn't tell me what it meant. I just like went home and was like, I was like, finish before Brendan gets home. I don't want to explain why there's a fucking two-headed... swan.
The lady told me I had to burn the swan candle.
Yeah,
okay?
It was weird. She like didn't ask for money or for anything. She was just like, you need to burn this tonight. And I was like, I don't know what this means. It's creepy.
How long ago was this?
Oh, this is like 4 or 5
but
years
I'll
ago.
Totally be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not. It was like, this is bullshit. I'm not gonna do it. You gotta burn the swan
candle. We all like candles.
Yeah.
If it nothing else, weird, you lit a candle.
I wish my whole house was made out of candles.
Someday.
Let's see. How do I broach a subject? How do I broach a difficult subject with somebody that I need to?
These.
Oh, you did.
Are
get
almost
ones,
the same as Texas cards.
Okay,
but they're in a different order, so that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we have the void and we have the making a choice. But right here, I see the hermit card.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's the person who's alone.
That's kind of sick.
I like it. I think that maybe that's kind of the fear hanging over it, that the broaching the subject will kind of isolate you, or will it isolate the other person?
Probably more the other person, I think. Yeah,
that's interesting.
Oh, I'm getting more cards.
Well, because there's some repeats. I want to see what else is going on.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're like, okay, so this card and this card are all the second in their series, which is interesting because that's like a choice card.
Okay.
They're all about being like stuck between two situations. So we're like, right now I'm kind of looking for one that'll sway it one way or the other. Cause right now I'm kind of seeing like, do you have to,
Yeah.
Right now, I'm not necessarily seeing like mm-hmm. the reason to breach the subject.
Okay.
Oh, so it's because of like a steadfast held personal belief that you have to.
Yeah, this. I guess. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No. It's like the Ace of Swords is like Excalibur raising out of the lake or whatever. Okay. It's the seed of a belief. It's the beginning of a philosophy. There's something about this thing that you have to breach. The only like valid reason is because you believe it is the right thing to do. It's like a steadfast, true thing for you to do.
Okay.
That makes, I mean, yeah. I think since we kind of know the, what you're asking about, I think that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. This is exciting for everyone who's very vague.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I was specific about mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I just think it's interesting that like, it seems like a lot of the cards are saying like, nah. It's like if it really means that much to you rationally, like if you're looking at it from like this cool detached place and it makes sense to do it, then do it. But it is risking this certain amount of isolation. But that isolation might necessarily be a bad thing. The hermit fucks off to the mountain to gain new knowledge, new self-awareness.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha.
That could be okay.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. It does make sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. Sorry, I can't tell people on the podcast what it's about.
I mean, you know, that shit. Now I'm trying to think of, a specific one I could say, but it's like, okay, well, I want, should we keep going? Or
Can we do a lady to lady one?
Yeah, let's do a lady to lady one.
Yeah.
Should we
each shuffle the cards?
And sure, then, everybody take a third.
Okay.
Let's ask.
About a show, about.
Could also do an advice with him.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Let's do an advice with them.
A lady problem?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Okay.
Ooh. Wait, do we have one pulled up?
Yeah.
Or should we wait till the next thing?
We'll see in the next segment.
Yeah. Okay. How are we doing on time, David? Okay. We'll be right back, and we're going to do a lady problem with tarot cards.
BRB. We are back. I'm Tess.
I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
You're with Bethy.
I'm Bethy.
And we're going to answer some lady problems with the help of tarot cards. Pretty fucking exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm stoked.
The tarot edition.
Yeah. Let's do our lady problems theme by Steve Porter.
Lady problems.
Do you have them?
I love it.
All right. Okay, here we go. Dear ladies, my name is Tommy. I'm 20 years old and I live in Central Illinois. Even though I'm not a lady, I still hope I can get your advice. I lost my father 2 years ago when I was a senior in high school, and I'm halfway through my second year of college and I've yet to work through my grief. Before he died, I was open to new experiences and the life of the party. But ever since then, I've become this recluse who only works and never has any fun. Though I'm into my second year of university, I haven't made one new friend. I'm also gay and still in the closet and feel as though that keeps me from opening up to people. Do you guys have any advice on getting out of my shell and opening up? P.S. I don't drink or partake in the pot, so parties have never really interested me. I was hoping I could get some advice from Brandy and how to maneuver through and have fun. Sorry, I can't see. Fun at parties. Thank you so much. I love the show. Jay.
Oh, Jay.
Well, thanks for reaching out, Jay.
Yeah.
You're really sweet to, you know, to ask us about it.
Oh, wait, his name's Tommy.
Oh. Oh, I think that a Jay just got added at the bottom.
Of Jay at the end.
Yeah. Hey, Jay. You know what? Thank you so much, Jay.
I just didn't want to be Jay the whole.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I don't know why. I think that there's just like a random letter got added and we pasted it. And we're not, you know, I don't want him to think we're not taking it seriously, the tarot cards, but I think it's a good opening up to,
we'll
do the tarot reading first, then let it go.
Let's see what the cards say.
So we all shuffled your cards for you, Tommy.
Yeah, everybody got to shuffle in. Oh, yep. Yeah. So actually I got the two grief cards.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So, what I'm seeing here is the Magician, the Ten of Swords, and the Nine of Swords, which is interesting that the Ten of Swords comes before the Nine of Swords chronologically in this, which means that as we all know, grief is a process that's not a straight line. It goes back and forth. Mm-hmm. And some ways never really goes away.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Especially, I think, in this situation, it's like that's... Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the thing that I'm noticing first is, like, at the root of it, you have... It's the magician card. It's the person who has the ability to take stuff out of every element. It's got every suit on it. It's got coins, wands, cups, swords, and create something out of nothing. And it's all about realizing that at the core of you, despite the grief that is surrounding you, you have what it takes to find something in nothing. I think of it, the magician card is also like the Sherlock Holmes card. It's the person who can sort of deduce from things and figure out how to solve problems, how to create the world that they want to have. Another thing that's on like the other version of it, another Rider-Waite deck, is it usually says as above, so below, and it's about finding that connection between an ineffable, ethereal, whatever you want to believe, plane and the here and now. So it's about not denying your grief, but understanding that you can transform it and use it to find a way to get back out there while acknowledging what happened to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So not just trying to kind of shut it away, but embracing it as part of your life and,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and moving on.
Yeah, figuring out, like, honestly, I have a lot of friends whose parents passed in college or around there, and they bonded over it, that there are other people who have that experience, and that's something that you might have in common with people, but you're not going to know if you don't get out there and find out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, new listeners of the show, my mom passed away a couple years ago, and it is a thing that, like, you're never the same, but you are different in ways that make you stronger in certain ways that you would never have expected. Mm-hmm. And when you meet people that have lost people, like, you bond with them immediately. It's like being a comedian, except with the worst thing that's ever happened. When you meet other comics, you're like, oh, I have a thing I can talk to you about.
That deep understanding.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, shit, you've, like, been to the edge of your sanity because of sadness. And mm-hmm. I'm so sorry about the loss of your dad, especially at, like, such a young age. I mean, I think I'm wondering, too, if any of it is, if he's still in the closet, like, it's probably hard to let go of a certain grief of letting his dad knowing who he truly was.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
I think it's probably a really big part of it.
I think so. Cause when you feel like you never could have shared that with him, that's gotta be really hard to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, maybe it's as simple as it's not simple, but like, depending on what you believe on what happens hereafter, maybe suspend your disbelief and like write a letter to your dad being like, this is who I am. This is, and he's the first person you come out to, you know? I mean, I don't particularly have like a defined idea of what I think happens after this life, but like I have several gravestones that I go to in my family when I need to like talk to people about some shit, you know? And it's like, just as like a sounding board of like, oh, this is the safest place that I can go to. And maybe like that's you can use like your dad passing as like your first step to finding who you really are, you know?
Yeah, that's a really beautiful idea. I think writing a letter to him and you can still, and maybe doing that, coming out to him first.
And I think like after that, like you should probably come out. I mean, I think that's going to really help. Yeah. Of course, it's something you need to decide to do on your own time and all that. But like, I think it's going to be hard for you to have fun if you're not living as the person that you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just going to feel this, I think, like kind of blossoming experience from so much of this, kind of like rising from the ashes.
Yeah.
In so many ways. And you're going to find your people, you know?
Yeah. That's going to help with the parties, too. Just being able to connect people, and just that gay parties are more fun.
Exactly. Getting invited to definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and just like, just getting to grief tears away all the bullshit. You know what I mean? Like I've never been more honest since after my mom died. Like, because who gives a fuck anymore?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's, I can imagine like the struggle of also holding in a secret with having that tear away at you would be, I mean, that would be really, really hard to deal with. I think they're tied up in each other in a way that you might not necessarily even realize right now. But I mean, maybe those are two things that he's grieving. I don't know.
Yeah. Was there other stuff about the two grieving cards, or is that, mostly it?
To me, like, the sword cards are sort of considered the like bummer suit. Mm-hmm. It's the sadness cards, but I think it's also like, the way that I was taught to read cards by my Girl Scout leader, she gave me a book about them, and the sword cards are about rational beliefs and the pain that is caused when you only think about your rational mind and ignore your feelings and like your physical body and your actual wants and desires. So maybe this is also sort of saying something about the fact that, you know, it is hard to, like, I'm sort of thinking there's two different things that I'm thinking about right now, or how that has to do with rational beliefs. Like, you are in school, and that is important, and maybe you are asking too much of yourself right now to try and like move past grief, get out there, make new friends, be the life of the party, and go to school. Like, all of those things together is like a lot, and come out maybe. Mm-hmm. And so one at a time isn't the worst thing. But then the other thing is that maybe the cards are saying that if you focus too much on like the studying part and the hermit part, that you are going to wind up sort of divorcing yourself from your feelings.
I think so. I mean, that's just a recipe to kind of avoid it, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's basically saying that he's just working all the time and being a hermit because he doesn't want to go out. Mm-hmm. So it seems like, from what you said, that you're kind of using that as a crutch and like a way to avoid.
Well, and maybe it can be like baby steps of like, is there like a good movie coming out and you want to invite some people on your floor to like go see a movie with you? Like, you don't need to, like, I didn't go to a lot of college parties because it wasn't really my thing. But like, I had a couple of people that like, my favorite bands are coming to town. I'd go see my favorite bands. Like, oh, movies are coming out. We'd go see movies. Like, our favorite TV shows were coming on. Like, maybe on your floor, like, have like a, oh, whatever, some show's coming up. Like, hey, I'm going to watch the show. If anybody wants to come over, I'm going to be streaming it. You know,
just, yeah, that's good.
Small one-on-one ways to kind of like connect with people.
Also, like, I would say, you know, you're in school. You have a natural, mm-hmm, like, ability to meet new people, which is classes. Sign up for a freaking theater class. It might be, you know, you're going to meet,
there'll be gays,
you're going to meet other gay people. Yeah. You're going to be gay people. You're going to feel more comfortable, and like, mm-hmm, it's going to force you to break out of your shell. It might be something you never, ever thought about doing. It doesn't have to be your career, but it's like, mm-hmm, something where you're going to make new friends and like, people that are kind of like being themselves the most, I think, kind of in college is like the theater, mm-hmm, kids. So, mm-hmm, I think that might be an option. Kind of look at some classes that you might not normally take and just be like, I'm going to take one class that's like a little out of my comfort zone this semester and just go for it.
Yeah. Or like, any elective that would require like, I took a mural painting class in college, and that was like, I met a lot of people in that class because it was like, all we did was like paint and talk. Like, mm-hmm, anything where you're going to be doing something.
Yeah. I think
you're talking to other people.
And not just you and with your nose in a book all the time, but like something where you're going to have to interact with the other people a lot.
Yeah.
I think would be a good idea.
Yeah, definitely.
What about the party? Do you have any tips from like for going to parties?
I mean, in college, like, I was always like, dumb stuff I would do. I would like, I would go to a party with a bottle of like, what's the shit that you get on Thanksgiving?
Oh, the apple
cider? Yeah. I would go to party. I would bring a bottle of apple cider at a party, and I would bring brandy snifters, and I would just be fucking drinking it like a fucking baller in the corner. I felt really fucking cool about it.
That's awesome.
Having a bottle of something ridiculous will always make you fun at a party.
Yeah,
that's true.
And like I've said before, like, me and my friends would always like have little games we'd play with drunk people. Like, it was fun for us. And like, I don't know, it's also kind of fun to post up in a corner and be a hater for a little bit, if that's a way to like be there and work your way in. Like,
that's why I think you should like, and I don't want to be like, become a theater, but you know, I mm-hmm, we just like fucked around. We didn't really drink that much or anything. Yeah. I did as I got older, but not a lot. Yeah. And I definitely would hang out with them and just, mm-hmm, do dumb shit instead of drinking, you know? So I think that might be an easier like people to find in that group.
Yeah. And you can be the life of the party. It just doesn't need to be like a crazy, you know, barn burner party. You know, mm-hmm, there's all kinds of different ways to hang out. Like, I never really liked being around huge groups of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was never my thing. I'm pretty fun.
I mean, the older we get, we all know the best parties are the ones with like eight people, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
it's okay.
It's okay.
One sec, guys.
Oh, it's all right.
Tookie Gatsby. One of my best friends back home is sober, and her trick is just getting real into her outfits.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking polish it up and look good. I honestly do think that makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. Like, try to, you know, like, put some effort into how you look and, like, feel good. Like, look in the mirror and, like, step it up a little bit. That always makes me feel better when I, just, like, day to day, if you kind of put in a little extra effort.
Mm-hmm. And I know you're 20. Maybe, like, I don't know. I'm condoning you. I want you to get a fake ID and find some drag shows near you.
Yes.
I think that would be really fun.
Yeah.
You know, just like to immerse yourself. And that way you can just be an audience member, like watching, but you can like immerse yourself in like, you know, a totem of gay culture in a really great way. I think that would be a fun way. And then you don't have to talk to anybody if you don't want to, but then maybe you want to at some point. Like it's not about like jumping in and immediately like, I'm immediately everything. And it's like, no, it's a build up. And it's fine.
It's like, and this is not the same at all, but, you know, with, like, stand-up, I, like, went to open mics and just hid in the back for months, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I finally, like, did it. So, you don't have to go and be the center of it, but you can go maybe be around, you know, the lifestyle that you might want, be interested or the people you want to be around and kind of, like, hide until you're ready.
Yeah, until you find somebody that, like, you're like, oh, I think I'm going to click with, you get a vibe from that person.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I have a lot of really great acquaintances in my life. I probably have like maybe 10 really good friends and I'm like very from different points in my life. And it's like, fine. Like
I think that's, most people.
Most people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's most people. And it's fine. Like if you're not like, oh fuck, I have like all these memories. Like remember when I graduated college, I had people that I was like, I'm going to be in touch with these people probably forever. And it's like friends with like three of them still really. And the rest of them, I see them online sometimes and it's fine, but
I think the nice thing about today's day and age, too, is that, like, people are more open than ever about their pain, the things that they've been through, because it's not as stigmatized to talk about what you've been through now.
Yeah.
And people are more willing to open up. So I guarantee you, if you kind of, like, you know, put a little bit of yourself out there, you're going to get people who give you back and, like, talk to you about what they've been through and sympathize and, you know.
Yeah. Well, and maybe even see if there's like a grief group on campus or something. I think that would be a great idea.
Yeah, definitely a counselor or that kind of stuff I think helps a lot. And you'll see you're not alone. You're not the only person who's experienced this kind of stuff.
I think coming out too will also like, will it just naturally invite a lot of change into his
which
life.
Which he needs.
So, yeah,
he needs.
So I think that alone is just going to kind of shake things up in a good way.
Yeah,
you organically need to introduce you to people.
Because if you have like something that you're trying not to talk about and he has two things he's trying not to talk about.
Yeah.
That's all you can think about a lot of the time and it just sort of shuts you down because you're focused so much on not disclosing the thing that you're trying to keep secret.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's like always on the, I mean, I know that's how I am. It's like always on the tip of my tongue if I'm trying not to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a recipe for social anxiety.
And I know like a big thing with grief too is like everyone's timeline is different. And it will ebb and flow completely. Like, you know, you can think you're totally fine and then something will set you off and it can be 3 years later and then you're a mess. And it's like, oh shit, I didn't expect that. Like, so it's important to like practice patience with yourself above all else, especially with grief, of just like giving yourself the space to be like, I'm just going to be a mess for a while. I'm just going to, you know, it's fine if you need to hold up for a minute.
But it's good that you're sick of it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like, it's a good sign that you're recognizing all the shit.
Absolutely.
And that it seems like you're ready for the change. You just kind of need a kick in the ass.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't want you to feel like, it's been 2 years already. It's like, it's, you know, time is what it needs to be sometimes. And I do think these two things are like way more intertwined or very intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Well, Bethy, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at Bethy, BSQU. And you can find me on Broadly.
Mm-hmm.
If you just Google my name and Broadly, then all my articles are just right there.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
There you go. Boom.
Read her stuff and watch Throwing Shade, obviously, Tuesday nights at 10:30 on TV Land.
Hey.
Yeah. Hi. All right, guys. We will see you next week.
Thanks. See you next week.
Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at ladytoladycomedy.
Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.